Good afternoon. On the program, you may have noted that this presentation was supposed to be made by Mr. Bukar Tijani, who couldn't make it, so I'm going to present on his behalf. It's about 10 minutes. I'll be very, very brief. It's been a very long day. So on scaling up agricultural mechanization, very quickly on some of the trends broadly on agriculture in sub-Saharan Africa, recent estimates indicate that hunger and undernourishment are on the rise, actually. They are increasing. We are talking about ending hunger in Africa by 2025, ending hunger by 2030 as part of the SDGs, but the fact on the ground in Africa, especially in sub-Saharan Africa, shows that it is on the rise. And two important factors responsible for this are conflict and climate change. We have already talked about high population pressure, and that most people are going to live in urban areas with implication on changes in food consumption patterns and so on. And the climate change impact is already known. Now, in terms of use, the power use in agriculture, what you see is a comparative picture between Africa and three regions lumped together. On the left-hand side, you have Africa. The blue is manual, brown is animal drawn, and the green is engine powered. So it's just the reverse. In Africa, most of the thing is being done by manual, and very little is done by engine-powered. The three regions are Asia, Near East, and North Africa, and Latin America in the Caribbean. So we are talking about comparison among developing countries. A lot to be done. Application of, let's say, machinery on land preparation by subregions of Africa, Central Africa, Western Africa, Southern and Eastern Africa. And you can see the blue is hand operated, use of hand hose and so on. The green is use of tractors. And this shows the extent to which we're very, very far behind in terms of mechanization. The public expenditure as an indicator of investment in agriculture, a lot has been talked about. Investment finance is key, especially when we talk about mechanization. And in particular, public sector investment in terms of infrastructure and so on. And as you can see, compared to the CADEP target of at least 10% allocation, we have only two countries, according to IFPRI data, 2017. And these two countries are Niger and Malawi. All the rest are below, contrary to some of the observations made by honorable ministers. My apologies, I use different data. What are the challenges for Africa in relation to mechanization? Number one, there is a scarcity. We don't have the farm power itself. So, secondly, there is a problem around holistic approach to mechanization. Everybody talks about farming whenever we think of mechanization. What happens afterwards is left out. So we should be looking at in a holistic manner. Inefficient use and field operation rates of agriculture machinery, of course, we have seen the data, and the issue of sustainability. When talking about scaling up, we need to use, of course, sustainable mechanization in Africa. That's why we're trying to make a justification for the issue of policies. Without appropriate policies, it's not possible to do mechanization. You have spoken about the kind of support from the government sector, and this is one area. I think it was Honorable Minister from our host, who talked about subsidization of machinery up to 60%. I mean, this is great. It needs to be encouraged. Financial sources to support investment in mechanization. It's expensive. Most of the time the discussion is either having tractors or not having tractors. So it's between handheld hoe on the one hand and having tractors on the other hand. In Africa, with millions of smallholders, family farmers, there is no way that every household is going to have a tractor. It's not possible. It's not desirable. You know, the important thing is to make sure that these services are made available. And at the moment, there are innovative approaches. People are using the examples of Uber, the Uber we are using for taxi. They are applying the same technology to access tractor and combine harvester services in many countries. It's possible. You don't have to own a tractor for you to mechanize the production process. The value chain approach, so it's not only about farming. Many things happen after you have the product. The DG of Africa Rice was mentioning this morning about the importance of milled rice, not just the paddy. And without mechanization, you cannot do that. So it's about the processing. So when we talk about the industry, it's also about agro-industries and agribusinesses. And that is where most of the money is, for job creation and so on. So value chain is very key. The role of private sector, you have already spoken about it. I don't have to come again. But we cannot do without it. So whenever we talk about the rice industry, we have double tracks, smallholder driven, separate strategy, private sector, another strategy, complementing to each other. It's very important. Capacity building, for sure. And it's not a stand alone. When we talk about mechanization, it's not just about the machines. It's many things. Better understanding of the stakeholders are necessary. Who are the stakeholders? We talk about value chain, and value chain involves a lot of stakeholders. We should understand them. Enabling environment, we have talked about them. Without it, it can't happen. Private sector, through partnerships, capacity building. So it's not only about equipment and machinery. It's about the whole process. And emphasizing on innovations. I just mentioned the example of Uber. We also need to ensure that mechanization in Africa is sustainable. That's why the emphasis on research and development is important. Unless we invest in research and development, there is no way we can make this thing sustainable. All the time we'll depend on external, you know, inputs, and whatever happens outside, it will be a shock. Okay, let me just rush. So in conclusion, we need to make significant progress because the backlog is huge, lots of gap. And we should be a little bit adopting a disruptive approach. Disruptive, try things which we haven't traveled before. Scaling up is a long-term issue. We have to have a strategic consideration. It's not just about 2 years or 5 years. It's about a long-term planning and also vision. Regional cooperation is very important. Some people were very passionate about this Pan-Africanism. It makes a lot of sense. There is a goal by African Union to triple intra-Africa trade in agricultural commodities. So when we talk about self-sufficiency, it's not self-sufficiency for Senegal, for Cote d'Ivoire, for Mali, for, you know, it's not possible. Africa should be self-sufficient and trade amongst ourselves. That is the idea. Institutional infrastructures. Without effective institutions, we can forget everything else. Institution. So it's not about the product. It's not just about the seed or the tractor or another, you know, whatever. It is about systems. And effective institutions, implementing institutions. These are very key. And private sector enabling, I think I have already talked about it. Just one minute, because I may not get another chance to speak to ministers, honorable ministers. You know, whenever you have this kind of opportunity, you should grab it. Honorable Ministers of Agriculture, it's a wonderful opportunity to have you around here. It's not, we don't take it lightly. It's very important. But most of you, I am sure, back home, must have been good friends with the Ministers of Finance. Please make the agenda of rice development and agricultural transformation not only of yourselves, of course you are responsible in your respective countries for leading and guiding transformation in agriculture, but the agenda should be co-owned. They should also co-own and become champions for these kinds of important issues. The Ministers of Finance should be able to see the reason why you're asking investment finance from public purse to support the industry is because it has a lot of implications on poverty, not just food. Of course, it's agriculture commodity, it's food, but it's not just for the sake of food. It creates jobs, a lot of jobs. It saves foreign currency. And the research community should be able to provide data, evidence to support you. What the impact of investing $1, one CD, or one CFA franc is going to have on important macroeconomic variables. I just want to say this. Thank you.